If you would be kind enough to turn to Luke, the 12th chapter, today's message is, don't worry, be happy. Luke 12, we're going to read from verses 22 to 32. We're there? Again. I only did what you asked. 22 to 32. And then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than the birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek His kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." It is God's desire for us not to worry. But we worry. And for a Christian, that's sin. If you believe it or not, it is. It's sin. Because it's breaking a commandment that the Lord tells us not to do. Worry is the opposite of faith. Worry is a spirit. Right on, Eve. But we worry. In some translations, it says, do not be anxious. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear or anxiousness, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. I think we worry because we don't understand the truth behind what it means to worry or be concerned about things. And it's all right to be concerned about things. It's all right to be concerned about your plans for your life. Because, you know, as a responsible people, we need to make plans for our lives. If we don't make plans, Satan will make plans for us. All of us have heard the old adage, you know, idle hands is the devil's workshop. And it's really true because, you know what, we can find ourselves getting into a lot of trouble. And then after we get in trouble, we start worrying about the effects of what we did. And God's desire is to give us the kingdom. And we've learned about what the kingdom is. What is the kingdom? It's a life of goodness, right? Life of peace. And a life of joy in the Holy Spirit. And it's God's desire for us to live this goodness like Jesus did. It is His desire that we be filled with so much peace that no matter if the storms of life come in, it doesn't matter. And to have this joy in our hearts is to really laugh about what is going on and know that our Father has everything under control. I want to give you a definition of what worry is. Worry is the tormenting thoughts that makes one feel anxious, fearful, or troubled about the cares of this life. Worry is the tormenting thoughts that make one feel anxious, fearful, or troubled about the cares of this life. Tormenting thoughts. It is making one feel uneasy by these thoughts that seize or pester or even bother us continuously. You see, worry is not something where we just get a concern about something and then it passes. Worry is constantly dwelling on the effects of what could be. And the best way I could put it is, if we're in motion plans and we worry about every scenario that could thwart our plans from happening, we would never do anything. And you see, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants you to be so caught up on, you know what, I don't have money to buy a meal. But God knows you need to eat. He wants you to be so worried about paying that electric bill or that gas bill or having gas in your car that you don't give to the work of the kingdom. He wants you to be so anxious about how you conduct yourself and worry about what you say to one another that you don't say anything to anyone for fear of what may be construed. Worry is not of God. Fear is not of God. Anxiousness is not of God. And we as a people need to understand that it is God's desire to give us the kingdom, but it is our responsibility to take hold of the kingdom. You see, you can't just have Jesus and live your life in such a way that is contrary to what God wants to give you. A life of goodness, of peace, and of joy. And many a Christian tend to live their lives as such. I'm a Christian on Sunday and on Wednesday night, but Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I'll live for hell like anybody else. You're either a Christian or you're not. And I call it real plainly, you're either a saint or an ain't. And I tell you, there's a lot of Christians who think that they're saints that really are ain'ts. And they should start worrying about the end. You see, that's what they should worry about. Not what they're doing right now, but whether they're worthy to stay in the kingdom. It's one thing to take hold of Jesus and say, I'm in the kingdom, but it's another quite different when you're going to stand before the Lord and He determines whether you are or aren't. That's something to be worried about. And every day I ask the Lord, Lord, I pray that I'm worthy. I pray that I'm worthy. Because I know I'm not. In my own strength, I'm not worthy of His kingdom. Do I get concerned about stuff? Oh yeah, I'm consumed about my daughter's wedding. And that's coming to an end. I was consumed about her graduating college. Like any parent, you know, you're hoping for the best for your children. You just pray the Lord bring them through that. And then, you know, with the bridal shower, you know, all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes that people don't know or understand, you know. And God miraculously works through all that stuff. And now we're coming up to the wedding, you know, and all that stuff that has to go in there and preparing for the finalization of premarital counseling and, you know, the developing of vows and those type of things that people don't really realize what's involved in when you get married. Am I concerned? No. I'm not concerned about it. I know it's got to get done. I know it'll get done in God's timing. Or the things with my house. You know, yesterday Dan came over and I thought he was coming to work. I was enlisting him for at least a couple hours. And he goes, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, I've got the kids in the car. Oh, okay. Cool. I was ready to give him a screw gun and let him start screwing screws in the wall. But it's okay, you know, because I was in DI mode yesterday. How to get stuff done. How to get stuff done. But am I concerned about, you know, what I eat or what I'm wearing or what? I don't worry about that because, you know, when you guys are seeing some of the polished areas of my life, but you don't realize that where I came from, I was in control of everything. And really, let's be honest. We become worried because things aren't working out the way we want them to work out. Let me say that again. We become worried when things that we want to turn out or that is under our control doesn't turn out the way we want them to turn out. You see, we have not learned to surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. The Bible says, man plans, but it's God who brings them to pass. You know, if God wants you to be married, you're going to get married. If He don't want you to be married, you're not getting married. I don't care how much you fight against Him. I don't care. You know, it's just like, you know, yesterday with the washing machine breaking down and then the accident and stuff. And Jesse knows this. I say it all the time. I have to thank God for those things because we don't know what He's protecting us from. You know, and we get annoyed with God, but He's looking out for us. Yeah, it's a shame that someone had to be medevaced out, and I pray that person is okay, and I pray for that family that it's not real serious injuries. I pray that they come to know Jesus Christ through that experience if they don't know Him. Or the washing machine. I know it's upsetting in a family. You know, you got loads and loads of wash that's got to get done, and you know, and the washing machine goes, and you know, there's no good time when stuff goes, you know. And I've learned to go, God, I don't like what you're doing, but obviously you think I need to go through this, so I will go through this. Dan and Nikki's wedding, the day of the wedding. I mean, we're getting ready to go up there, and the drain broke. God, I got to get up there, you know, get married, you know. Obviously. And it worked out, you know. Irene's taking a shower. She didn't know I left. I went to the hardware store in a suit. Told them I needed a drain. Put a little rug down, fixed the drain, got all done. Irene says, oh, we're ready to leave. I said, oh, yeah, let's get out of here. But it fills me up with joy when you see what God's doing, you know, in spite of our plans. And Satan wants us to be so consumed about it that we forget what our responsibility is. And it's to the King and the kingdom. Our responsibility as believers is to extend the kingdom, first within ourselves and then to others. Again, yesterday, you know, with Kevin, you know, there's a guy who's living with a young lady and doesn't know the Lord, and we're just striking up a conversation, and he started off by saying, have you ever seen the movie The Passion? I said, yeah. He says, man, is it a sin for me not to go and watch it? I said, no, I would encourage you to watch it. And we just got into a discussion about how the depiction of Christ and how horrific that was for Jesus. And I said to him, I said, it wasn't horrific enough because it doesn't fully describe what we as sinners have done to the Lord of glory. And then Dan came and just continued to lead him gently by the Spirit and gave a Bible to him. And I invited him to church. And we'll see what happens. I mean, he's got to come back to work Wednesday. We'll continue to water and plant seed. Worry. Worry. Why do we worry? We worry because we want to be in control. The Bible says, let all men lift up holy hands without doubt or wrath. In this position, we're in surrender. The kids went to the choir to fire and they saw other kids lifting their hands up, praising God. And you thought that I was the retard. We're finding out who's really retarded. But you know, when we surrender to God, there is such a freedom. Whether it's in worship, oh, God, I wonder what they're going to think if I put my hands up. Oh, I wonder if they're going to think if I'm eating this burrito when I should have a taco. I wonder what they're going to say. I worry if, who cares? We're all made out of the same material, filled with the same junk. But not all of us possess the kingdom of God equally. But all of us have the kingdom dwelling within us. And we need to release the kingdom. And releasing the kingdom comes by first living that life of goodness. It's living a life in such a way that is honoring to our Father. It's not living a life that is sinful. It is a life of righteousness. It's living a life of holiness. It is a life that is worthy of the King and the kingdom. You see, we tend to forget that we're already seated in heavenly places. We're already members of the kingdom. We're already there. And what's happened is we've bought into this lie that we're living through here to get to the by and by. I'm saying you're living there to conduct warfare here for the King and the kingdom. And a lot of us have had hopes and dreams that have been vanquished from other experiences in our lives. Disappointments. But has God stopped? No, He hasn't. You see, we become so derailed by our selfishness and self-centeredness that when we set in motion plans, they're really not the plans that God has. They're our plans for our convenience, for our wants, for our desires, never considering what the King's plans are, what His desires are, and what He wants to accomplish. We treat God like He's the miracle worker in the box. You know, we crank it up, play a little song, pop, up comes God, and He performs a miracle. When the truth of it is the greatest miracle that He wants to perform is through you and through me, of a life that is contrary and confounding to the world. You see, the world runs around and they listen to the advertisements saying you need this, you got to have that, it can give you cheap financing. You don't have to have financing. You can defer your payments for 12 months to 72 months. You know, whatever it is, the world wants to accommodate you. And you can live for the world, but you know what? It's come and due for payment. And when that payment starts coming, you start realizing that your lifestyle and your earning capacity just doesn't make it. There's too much month left over from that paycheck that you get. And what I've learned in Jesus Christ is there is not enough month for all the glory that He wants to pour out. There's not enough hours in a day for all the glory that He wants to pour out. And we settle for the crumbs of this world instead of sitting at the banquet feast and feasting on the glory of God and doing what He wants done. We worry about, am I living a good life? You know if you are or aren't. Why worry about it? You know what God says to you. He says the same thing to me. And yet Satan wants to take out that worry club. And he goes, how's that? And you go, ooh, I'm worried. With worry, there also comes fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of the consequences. Fear of knowing the consequences. Fear of knowing that my plans will be exposed because they're not the plans that God wants. The fear of being exposed as a hypocrite. And God says, I already know you are. I already know this. I already know this about you. Why do you worry so much about this? Why are you so concerned about what others think? What kind of food you're going to eat? What kind of clothes you're going to wear? What kind of job you're going to have? Which brings us to the whole purpose of being happy. Why are the Christians the saddest people in the world? Why? Have you ever thought about that? Why do we look like we've been just drinking bad vinegar instead of having a really great iced tea? Why is it? Why is it that we feel like we've just popped out of the cesspool and we smell really bad? When the truth of it is, we've been cleansed and we smell and have the aroma of heaven because that's Jesus. I think because, and for me, in my experience as a Christian for 20-some years, is the fact of understanding that I really don't want God's will in my life. And I do all I can to fight against having the will of God in my life. And God just laughs at me. He laughs. And if He laughs at me, I have to laugh at me too. That's why I'm retarded. What makes for us to be happy? First of all, knowing that you're saved from eternal judgment. I sit there and I think about what God has saved me from. Eventually, this world is going to be judged. Every person is going to be judged. And that should make me happy. That my judgment has already come. It's on the cross. Jesus Christ took my judgment for me. And now what I'm going to be judged for is for rewards. And that should make me happy. Because my life of living goodness should always be one that's glorifying God. Doing the right things. Sharing with people. Helping people. And just, you know, serving wherever you can. Having the peace. Knowing that I'm not at war with God anymore. I don't have to even be at war with myself anymore. And some of us have not even learned to stop fighting within ourselves. And Satan wants you to worry about that. Oh, mom and dad are fighting, you know, again. Oh, it's all because of me. It's not because of you. It's not because the kids did anything wrong. It's because there is such turmoil within the parents that they have not learned to work together. And they take it out on their kids. And the kids feel bad. And because they feel bad, Satan beats on them. And so the whole family is taking his worry stick and just beating each other with it. And Satan's just sitting back laughing. Or you can pick 100 million other reasons why. As a Christian, but we now need to, as the Lord has said, refocus our attention, readjust our hearing, readjust our focusing, allow Him to do it, to see the goodness of the God in our lives, to really hear what He's saying to us so that we can live a life that is glorifying unto Him. Does that mean we'll have the latest sound system in there? No, it doesn't mean that. Do we need it? You see, I think we worry because we don't understand God, and I think we don't understand God because we worry so much about stuff. And this world will give you all the stuff that you want to keep you from the real things that God wants for you. And that is a destiny that He wants to work through you. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. John 10:10 says, Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest." Worry and fear are thieves. Worry comes to steal your sensibility about you. Fear comes to rob you of your sleep, your physical well-being. And they both team up to destroy relationships. They do. How many people want to be in the company of a person that is negative, that is angry, and abusive? Well, I don't see anybody's hands up. And yet, we endure that because we do not challenge ourselves enough to stand for God. You see, if we do not raise a standard in a time that we need to raise a standard of Jesus Christ, we will submit to a standard that the world sets for us and call that the norm. Abuse, fear, lying, alcoholism, drug addiction, sexual perversion, you know, you name it. It's all what the world wants to give to us. The prophet said in the last days that the world will call evil good and good evil. Jesus said, if they call your master evil, how much will they call you? And if we want to be like Jesus, understand that that's what it's about. See, I'm a seeker. Actually, they said a stalker of God. And really, I don't feel that like I am. I just love the Lord. I just want to do what He wants done. And if that means that I have to spend time with Him to do that, fine. That's great. But what about you? Are you weary and tired of where you are right now in your walk with Jesus Christ? Or are you excited and have this effervescence just bubbling up within you to come out of you? See, for me, I may be physically tired, but inside, I'm like that little kid that can't sit down, can't go. Man, I just want to go, do the things of the kingdom. And all this other baloney is hindering me from doing it. I have to do this to get to where I need to be, but you know what? That's not holding me back. I want to do what the King has sent me to do. Jesus was sent to die for us. I was sent to die for you. And my life be imparted to you as the life of Jesus Christ is imparted to me. You are to die for others. You see, it's not a life that we keep. We exchange it. I gave my life to Jesus Christ so that the life I now live, I live in Him. And it's Him who lives through me to touch your lives. Satan wants to keep us from accomplishing the great commission. He wants us to stop worrying about what God has for us and be so consumed about, you know, where's my next paycheck if we don't have a job, or if I don't have a car, or if I don't have a license, or I got a permit but I don't know how to back up properly, but I drive well. Inside joke. But you know what? It's so much more. The kingdom of God is so much more than you and I can conceptualize. We have these finite brains that, you know, when I start thinking about kingdom stuff, I'm allowed to just expand another half an inch or so, and then my brain just shuts down. I cannot conceptualize what God has, and He only gives me a glimpse to see into the future, just a little bit. And the fun thing is, He's doing it. I've surrendered my life. You know, people look at our building project, but they don't realize this thing was started 4 years ago. And for 4 years I've been speaking it, and now it's coming to pass. Remember I talked about eternity and really thinking from the eternity perspective that the only way things are going to happen in the world is if we speak it into reality and watch God bring it to pass. We have a responsibility to continue working our plan, but it is God who will bring it to pass. His will not be thwarted. We will either conform, or we won't. I mean, that's the choices we make. And when we don't conform, we worry about it, because our choices are our choices that are contrary. And Satan wants us to be worried about that. He wants us to be worried about our food. He wants us to be worried about our kids. Irene could never understand how in the world it was possible for me to go to sleep when the kids were out late at night. And I say to her, I pray, Lord, Your hand is on them. I thank You for the rest I got. Good night. And go to sleep. And I do. Because I just believe it. And there's nights when there things were going on, I'd be up praying. She wouldn't know it. And they wouldn't know. I knew something was going on, and I would intercede, pray in the Spirit. That's a life that's filled with just trusting God and not worrying about the small stuff. Because in comparison to God, it's all small stuff. He can do abundantly above anything I could ever ask or imagine. And that's where, you know, Gary's saying, you know, if you could start thinking about the impossibility, expand that. Go to the greatest impossibility, and God, that's not impossible to God. What is it that He's speaking into your lives? That you're so... keep you from building relationships, losing relationships that don't need to be, callings that God has called into your lives that you're fighting that you don't want because that's not what you thought. And I mean, I was there too. I fought what God wanted. My calling, you know, after I finally embraced it, I didn't really relish it. Because my call is something that I see both ends. I see sin and I see the effects of sin, and I see goodness and I see the effects of goodness in people's lives. And I do minimize it, but it's an awesome thing to be able to look at a person and see what's going on in their lives while they're telling me a whole bunch of lies. It's right there. You see, I've learned not to sweat the small stuff. I've learned to have faith in God. And that faith must be built every day. It must be exercised every day. You can't believe God for a $100,000 project if your faith is only good enough for a dollar. It has to be exercised. It has to grow. You have to be in the Word. You have to be in a relationship with Him. And we worry because we're not. I want to encourage you guys that, you know, sit around and think about the extraneous things that are going on in your life. And really, do they need to be going on in your life? Or can you just set them on fire and burn them up? People that are trying to consume your life, that is really not building anything into you, always seem to be drawing from you, really ask God. See if those people need to be in your life. It's not saying that they don't need Jesus or there's not a need. It's just that you may be in the way of God doing something for them. I encourage you to be happy. Be happy that you're a saint in Jesus Christ. Live a life that is worthy of Him. Not that you have to put on the airs about anything, but just live knowing who you are in Him. And don't worry about what anybody else says or thinks about you. And think about what it's going to be like being with Jesus without time. I was going to say 24/7, but they don't have time. And maybe somebody can answer me a question that I've had for a while, that it said in Revelations, it says, and there was quiet for an hour in heaven. How do you know it was an hour? You know? Okay. But I want to encourage you, you know. Don't worry. Be happy. Be happy about being a son and a daughter of the King. Be happy about your salvation in Him. Be happy about everything that's going on in your lives. Whether you understand it or not is immaterial. Know that your Father wants to give you the kingdom, and it is His good pleasure to give it to you. And He'll take care of you. Know that He is for you, not against you. And know that He will fight your battles for you. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank You for today, Lord God. I thank You, God, for Your saints. I pray, God, that today be some sort of practicalness, Lord, that whoever is in this fix of worry and their plans and stuff, God, I just pray that they just give it to You and surrender it to You, God, and let You work the details out. We all get caught up in it, God, and that includes myself sometimes, God. I forget that You're the boss and I'm not. God, I ask that you forgive us, Lord, as we acknowledge those shortcomings, God. Father, I ask that there be no fodder for the enemy to come and place worry or fear into our hearts, God, but God, that you would cause faith to arise and shine within us, God. That God, as we seek your kingdom first, you will add all these things to us. That God, if we're about your business, you are definitely about ours. And Lord, as we go on today, God, even in the hecticness of the plans today, Father, I ask that you really bless each and every one today. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.